You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's ride!
The most flawless transitions on the network for at least a year and a half now, 2 years. Flawless. Everybody, welcome to the show. It's Monday night. I can't believe we're back. And what do you know? Right before we go live, a couple hours before we go live, there's just so much plopped into our lops. You know, so, but it was a great weekend. I hope everybody's weekend was great. Went to 3 parties in 2 days. And I had, I think I had a total of 7 glasses of whiskey. That does not happen. Doesn't happen, anybody. Only reason why I'm still standing here is because there was a full bottle of water in between every glass. But still, I have the taste for it. I like it. Lots of type of stuff. Love it. I'd have a whiskey with any of you guys. And we might have to do that one day, for sure. Other than that, other than the whiskey exploits and all of that, what happened? Oh, you know what we never talked about real quick before we get into the meat and potatoes of tonight's show? The first half of tonight's show has got to be all business. The second half, I got some fun stuff to do. We got to get all the heavy shit out of the way, because leading up to Friday, I really want there to be... We got to have some kind of fun. You know? But we met a really, really interesting new friend on Friday. On Friday, Gypsy and I, and you guys met Rob Corrado, my good friend, who is has embarked on his own journey, on the kung fu journey, and I'm along for that ride now too. But he also has a great, I mean, we had a great, he has a great sense of people that need to meet. And we got to meet one of his good friends, Bob, who's going to be on this show soon. And you guys, I promise you this, especially like Max, people like Max Sancaparato are going to love this guy. Biochemist, got his own company, does amazing things. I'm not going to say that much, because he is a character, and he is... I don't know. It's going to be a great, great conversation. And what he's on the verge of rolling out and what he's about to show everybody as far as product goes, that's been conceived from his own... It's nuts, okay? And it's all good biochemistry set mad scientist shit, okay? And he's fantastic. He's going to be on the show soon. So you guys are going to get a little bit of a science lesson, but it's going to be more so a fun thing. You know, we're not going to be talking about doom and gloom when the next asteroid's going to hit us. No, we're going to be talking about nutrition. And we're going to be talking about how the body reacts to certain things. It's going to be fun. Okay, I can't say anything else. So I'm just going to leave that carrot dangling for you guys. Other than that, the Electoral College has just been tallied. And guess what? Donald Trump is the president. Which means that phase two... of the whining and complaining from all of the ice cream licking Johnny come latelys on the street level of Coruscant is now over. It's now over. Now the next step, which is phase three, which is going to last about 4 years until the next election in 2020. Phase three is everything that Donald Trump says, sneezes, or looks at is going to be impeachable. So. Be prepared for that hilarity as it ensues. It's not going to stop, so just remember that. Let me see here. That's it. Okay, so what else is going on? Today we had terror attacks in what it seems to be Switzerland, Germany, and Turkey. Of course, in Turkey, many of you guys have probably seen the assassination of this Russian ambassador to Turkey. And relations there are already strained as it is. And the crazy thing about this, you guys can watch on your own, the video's everywhere, and I'm sure you guys have already seen it a couple times. But the thing that was really crazy to me is the positioning of the shooter. Now, the shooter was right behind the ambassador. And there's a wall behind them. They're like in an art gallery over here. And apparently, this guy was like part of the... He was part of the security detail somehow. Listen, this is from the Mirror. Listen to this. Russia's ambassador to Turkey has been assassinated by an off-duty police officer in front of a terrified witnesses, allegedly in retaliation for the crisis in Aleppo. The gunman, smartly dressed in black in a black suit and tie, reportedly shouted, "Allahu Akbar," and then said in Turkish, "We die in Aleppo, you die here," after shooting the ambassador, Andrei Karlov, in the back. Karlov? The attacker was fatally shot by police after killing Mr. Karlov and wounding three others in what Russia's foreign ministry has called an act of terrorism. I saw somebody say that it would be dubbed art place violence if this happened in America, which was as sad as it is funny. Mr. Karlov, 62, was delivering a speech at an art gallery in the capital of Ankara when he was shot from behind an attack caught on camera, then shot at least once more at close range as he lay on the floor. And this guy went off on a tirade just screaming, screaming, screaming. The gunman, identified by Turkish officials as Melvit Mert Atilantas, whatever, he's dead, was a police officer who used police identification to enter Ankara's Center for Contemporary Arts. The 22-year-old had been a member of Ankara's elite anti-riot police for 2.5 years. After killing the ambassador, he reportedly shouted, well, you can hear it for yourself, "Don't forget Aleppo, don't forget Syria. As long as our brothers are not safe, you will not enjoy safety." Of course, once they are safe, you still won't enjoy safety, so that's the other thing that comes along with the package. "Whoever has a share in this oppression will pay for it one by one. Only death will take me away from here." I especially like when they say things like, "Whoever has a share in this oppression will pay for it one by one," and then they start killing people indiscriminately of whether or not they had a share in it or not. So that's always the fun part of this stuff. And then it made me think about Aleppo and Syria, and I started talking to Gadget Doc, and we had a long conversation on Facebook, and also I was talking with Alex Plitzes as well. I want to be able to know everything we can about the Syrian civil war from start to present, just so that we can have a little bit more of an all-around discussion for people who may just know that, okay, there's a Syrian civil war out there, and apparently we're involved, but not really. And there's tons of proxy situations going on. The Russians are involved. There's this little bit of a triumvirate of an alliance going on between Russia, Iran, and Syria. And who are the players? How did it all start? And where are we now? Well, that's something that we have to answer, and something that I want to be 100% certain on, or at least have a good idea about it before we talk about it and make myself look like an ass. So that will probably happen this week, maybe even tomorrow, because I've got all the material and I'm starting to put it all together. But as we've said before, it's such a rat's nest. Rat's nest. So we'll see that. Moderate rebels. Yeah, there's moderate rebels everywhere. Moonlit Matt said, "I bought myself a 2014 Toyota Tacoma Saturday, and I'm loving it." Well, that's good. Good job, Moonlit. Good job. So I'm thinking about Aleppo and Syria there, and I go on to this Salon article, which I think is fantastic. I think it's absolutely hilarious, because you have Salon, which is such a rag, And this is from December 15th, 2016. Mind you, this is 4 days before the Electoral College vote that everybody was pretty sure they could be able to sway and death threaten people with death until they go and they change their votes. We could have watched the whole... We could have watched that video of all the old actors and stuff going out there and putting out another attempt at trying to alter the free voting process of the country by begging the electors to ignore the tens of millions of people and just become all-powerful, unelected, just, I don't know, wizards? Think about that, everybody. All the people who are like, please, you see these decrepit, homely, unkempt women outside some kind of a government building with their cardboard signs that says, please vote your conscience. What they're really just saying is vote their conscience. Forget about tens of millions of people and throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't care about living in a free society or anything that resembles one. So we won't get into any of that stuff. But what I will say is that the more serious these people, mainly the left, the regressives, okay, the more they get serious, the funnier they are. It is hilarious how serious these people take themselves. I really do believe that they are the really interesting, deep, action-packed characters that they portray on screen somewhere, and that they're not just vapid zombies who are trying to do their due diligence to make sure they do get casted in the future, or cast in the future, I should say. That's all it is. People peacocking around for their peers in the industry. So, hey, Mr. President. Hey, President Donald Trump, Salon says. Do you know where your bombs are falling? Donald Trump is set to see a never-ending 15-year-old war. The long national nightmare that was the 2016 presidential election is finally over. Now we're facing a worse terror, the reality of a Trump presidency. The worst terror. The guy has, to his credit, he has kept everybody on their heels. He has pretty much locked out the media, and he has just been dealing directly with the public. I've been loving it. And people and this media, they're so spurned and spurned, and I don't. It's so amazing to watch them wiggle around here. Donald Trump has already promised to nominate a segregationist attorney general, a guy who actually went against segregation and helped dismantle the KKK, but these are not normal people at Salon. A national security advisor who's a raging Islamophobe, raging because it's not good enough. They were not going to be able to transmit what they're trying to say unless it lets you know this is not a guy with just a touch of Islamophobia. Everybody, be wary. He's a raging, like. When he's not on camera, he's usually in a padded room throwing his fists around, trying to hit invisible Muslims. Raging. Okay? He gets rolled out in the Hannibal Lecter dolly for public appearances. A secretary of education who doesn't believe in public schools. She believes in school choice. And I think that the Department of Education should be gone altogether. And it doesn't mean that keeping your solutions local, to think and act locally, means that you are somehow against children. But the children. But what about the children? The children were screaming. We're taking away their education. And a Secretary of Defense whose moniker is Mad Dog. Of course, they couldn't go by the fact that he's widely respected by people on both sides. He's a man, which they're always very, very afraid of men. And he takes action. And he commands loyalty, and he's the man, to be honest. I'm the biggest fan of him. But of course, his name is Mad Dog. Let's just leave it at that, okay? Let's leave it at that. His name is Mad Dog. What do they call? Don't they have one of those stupid nicknames for one of their own colleagues in the Congress or something like that? Who the hell is some? I got to think about it. But in either case. On how many countries is U.S. ordinance falling at the moment? Some put the total at 6, others 7. For the record, those 7 would be Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Pakistan, Somalia, Syria, and, oh yes, Yemen. I wonder, does Salon go on to say that 4 out of 3 of those are now tacked on to our bombing campaigns because of one Barack Obama? Whose dick they'd love to slather up and just do some good stuff to it. Everybody at Salon just lining up for the president. But, you know, that goes on to something else. Let's go on to First Lady Michelle Obama now. You have to listen to this. I have a 2-minute clip here that when she's talking to Oprah that'll probably last us 3 hours now. Here's Michelle Obama talking to Oprah while the rest of the world deflects away from what is going to be a terrible legacy left behind by Barack Obama, except for everybody who went and received the Eucharist. They will think it was the greatest thing ever. They won't know why it was, but they'll just feel like it was. Why will they feel like it was the greatest presidency ever? Well, let's listen to the crux of this interview, which I can only really stand 2 minutes of it, so thank God it's a short clip. Listen to this shit. Hold on, actually, let me put it up next to me. Camera 5. Listen to this.
Your husband's administration, everything, the election, was all about hope. Do you think that this administration achieved that?
Yes.
Ha! I'll just say that to start off.
I do, because we feel the difference now.
Yeah.
See, now we're feeling what not having hope feels like.
Remember, everybody, this is the woman that wasn't proud of her country until her husband was elected. And she was set up for an 8-year ride in which even her mother got to live in the White House. And they got to, her and the kids got to travel everywhere and just live like a queen. You know, just everybody, rose petals were thrown wherever she walked. And, oh, my God, except that one time she was asked to take something down off of a shelf or something, or somebody asked if she worked somewhere because she showed up at a Target something and dressed like she just got out of the gym. I don't know. But hope. Now we're seeing what it feels like when we don't have hope. Why? Well, because her personal hope for everything that she's known the last almost decade is gone. She has no more hope for all the perks she used to have. Now, she'll always have her protection. And, of course, speaking engagement, forget about it. She's going to be making so much money for herself. For what? For ruining kids' lunches at school. That's her biggest crowning achievement.
You know, hope is necessary. It's a necessary concept.
Remember, everybody, we're only dealing with concepts and intangible things like hope. Okay, we're not going to talk about policy. We're not going to talk about, you know, pulling up the bootstraps and getting out there work and loving your country and loving whatever. No. We're only going to talk about hope tonight, everybody. Just hope.
And Barack didn't just talk about hope because he thought it was just a nice slogan to get votes.
Of course he did. What the fuck is that?
I mean, he and I and so many believe that what else do you have if you don't have hope?
Yeah.
I don't know. Food to eat, a job, your family, hobbies. I mean, what? What do you? And what's hope? Can you define hope? Oh, then they'll say something like, hope the wish for a brighter future. What's a brighter future? Can you tell me what a brighter future is? Well, you know, education, doing better than the generation before you, being prosperous in an economy. Really? Well, how are we going to do that? You see, all you have to do is ask them these questions. Get them away from the really vague remarks, these feel-good remarks, and it starts getting really bleak for them because they've got nowhere to go. Nowhere to go. Then they start getting themselves tripped up in territory that they can't navigate out of, which is how do you plan on delivering this hope to everybody? What authority do you have to deliver this hope? What is necessary to deliver it? And how do you have the authority to get what is necessary to deliver it? Because, of course, it all comes down to taxes. It all comes down to taking away from people who are living their own lives, who have hope for a better future. And they're being suppressed. Their efforts are being suppressed because people who want to keep their jobs and are a part of a really great scheme that is stretched all over the world, they want to preserve their livelihoods. And they want to keep people unionized in these voting blocks. That's it. You talk about unions. There's unions for, you know, there's teachers' unions. You got your construction unions. You've got police, firemen, all this shit. Everybody's unionized. But there are, if you're not, you don't need to be a card-carrying member of a union to be part of a union. Depending on how you vote and what you're looking for out of government, government is your employer. Government is everything. Your provider for all. And that's what they peddle. They peddle this. And that's why they also have nowhere to go except just saying things. Listen to this.
What do you give your kids if you can't give them hope?
Bottles, diapers, you know, morality. All the things that actually make a strong nation, a strong street, forget about a nation, a strong neighborhood. You can give all those things, even if you don't have anything. This woman and her husband have been in office to oversee such a rapid rotting from the inside out of our culture, of our morale, the things that people can have a strong sense of and a strong connection to, despite what their income is. That's how we got out of the woods in the past. Economies fluctuate. There's always corrections, things, bubbles burst. This stuff happens. Industries become obsolete. Think about all the jobs that don't exist today because the jobs literally don't, the industry doesn't exist. Because technology becomes obsolete. The need for factory workers becomes obsolete. A car goes from, you know, inefficient to efficient, and people that knew how to repair them in 1954 need to know how to repair them in 2016. You need computing degrees instead of this. You need this. This is just the normal way of things happening, evolution. And we've been able to go past that. We've been able to shoulder that weight because we're humans. One thing we do have is resiliency. But we're most resilient when we have our morale and when we have principles. And they have overseen the gutting of our morale. This woman and her husband has overseen, they've been in office in that house to oversee the gutting of our morale.
You know, our children respond to crises the way they see us respond. You know, it's like the toddlers.
Oh, really? So that's a bad sign, everybody. That's a bad sign because the way that we've seen them respond to political losses, the way that we've seen them respond to local tragedies, national tragedies, how everything's politicized, how nobody takes responsibility for everything, they blame something else, they blame someone else, they blame another idea, they blame a faceless conspiracy, they blame heads of state elsewhere, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, they blame everybody except themselves. Of course, their ideas are pure. Their focus is pure, and all we needed to do is just give them a little bit more control, a little bit more effort, and a little bit less resistance, and we could have been there.
That bumps his head on the table, and they look up at you to figure out whether it hurts. And if you're like, oh my God, they're crying. But if you're like, you know what, babe, it's okay. It's okay. And I feel that way about the nation. I feel that.
You hear that, everybody? You're all infants. And Barack Obama has been your daddy for the last 8 years to let you know that when you bump your head, it's okay. No, what? No, no. We're only a fucking nation because we didn't want anybody taking care of us. We didn't want anybody telling us what to do. That's the only reason why we're a nation in the first place. And this is what we listen to now? And most people look at her and listen to this and go, she's right. She's right. Gonna miss her. Gonna miss her. Are you fucking kidding me? How did we get here? How did we get here?
Rock has been that for the nation in ways that people will come to appreciate.
I'm sure we
having
will.
Having a grown-up in the White House who can say to you in times of crisis and turmoil, hey, it's going to be okay. Let's remember the good things that we have. Let's look at the future. Let's look at all the things that we're building.
Michelle, Miss First Lady, I just want to say that's a great thing for a leader to have. Somebody to be able to come out in times of adversity and just say, hey, everybody, remember, keep your nose to the grind plate and let's just keep pushing. Whatever you do, be the best at it. Okay? If you are a janitor in an elementary school, be the best at it. Show kids how much pride you have in your work. Show kids around you that no matter, it doesn't matter what the job is, what the task is, it's a good job. It's honest. If you're a bus driver, if you're working at DPW or a garbage collector, if you work on Wall Street, if you work in manufacturing somewhere, construction, just be the fucking best at it. Bust your fucking ass and just keep busting ass. It's the only way we're going to do this. If we had a cheerleader like that in office, fine. But we've had a guy in office that has told us that entrepreneurs didn't build the businesses that they slaved to build. We've had a guy that has politicized and made racial messes of everything. Everything. With his Praetorian Guard, as Mark Levin would say, media in tow to protect him and prop him up the whole time. Even down to his last weeks, he could have been a stabilizing factor in the country to tell people it's all right. Give all of you. We have to hope for the best, and we have to be the best. And he's just part of this firebomb crew that's leaving a shit bag in the laps of those who are about to take over. So he's had all of their chances to be that person. He hasn't been, though. He's been blowing a dog whistle for 8 years. That's just what's been happening. I voted for him in 2008. I was rooting for that man to be there. It just wasn't there. It just wasn't there. And that's the other thing that she's got to realize. The other thing that she's got to realize is that every year since he got elected, he told everybody that his policies were on the ballot. In 2010, he said his policies were on the ballot, and what happened? The House was taken away. He was pushed back. In 2012, they ran up a milquetoast candidate, Mitt Romney, who at one point was beating the shit out of Barack Obama in the polls, and then just took his foot off the gas for some reason. I really do think anybody else would have beaten him. In 2012, he was very beatable. So 2012, you just had Mitt Romney to blame. 2014, once again, his policies were on the ballot. At that point, we saw what his policies in 2011 going into 2012 created. ISIS, the evacuation, the extraction of forces out of Iraq early, helped create a lot of problems. Him and Hillary Clinton. And in 2014, what happened? The Senate flipped. 2016, not only does Trump win by dozens of electoral votes over Hillary Clinton, but the state governorships went red. The state legislatures went red. This has been a wholesale repudiation of everything that he has been doing along the way. And it's not because of racism. It's because people were voting with their wallets. They were voting with their hope. They wanted a refund for the hope they bought into. That's what happened. All the 29 and a halfers who aren't working full-time jobs anymore. I mean, it's just nobody wants to live like that in mediocrity. Nobody wants to be stuck in the tar pit of mediocrity just to say that they have shitty health care. Lauren was getting ready to get her quotes for health care, too. She had private health care, and it was just getting too expensive. So like most people, she had to go and check out the marketplaces. She had to cancel her insurance. And I've talked to you guys about Lauren in the past. She should have insurance just because she has some stomach problems and stuff like that. And it, even though Western medicine is not really any place where she can get help for it, it's still just good to have for emergency purposes. The reason why I have insurance, because God forbid I break a leg or something happens. Who the hell knows? Emergency. But like many people, she had to cancel it to save money, went a couple of months without anything, and now she may have to take the penalty because the bronze package for a girl that really, she changed careers and she went from something that was very lucrative to something that was very passion-based, but still doesn't want any handouts. Still, with that being said, with not a lot of money, she's still being charged almost as much as she was getting charged when she was on private insurance. And she's making half of what she was making elsewhere because she changed her career path. And the deductible for the bronze package is over $5,000. Bronze. And when she saw this, she almost broke down in tears. And I just wanted to punch things. I didn't know what to hit. Because nobody should have to go through this shit. Somebody's good idea. It's like, why doesn't she? This is unbelievable. So all this stuff, she wants to talk about. So the first lady wants to talk about hope. They all did not bring hope to anybody. Pathetic. Let's move on to something else. So we did the Russian ambassador died. Hey, President Donald Trump, do you know where Barack Obama and George W. Bush's bombs are dropping? I don't know. Maybe the president that's outgoing can let him know where the bombs are dropping since he was the man that pulled the trigger. We did Michelle Obama. Don't want to talk about that. And talk about hope. Let's go to Venezuela for a second. Venezuela postpones currency move after chaos and protests. So Venezuela, because of their ridiculous inflation, they are getting rid of $100 denominations, $100 bills, made them completely useless. And the funniest thing is, because the government is so inept and they can't even afford the paper to print the money on, they didn't have any of the bills that they wanted to exchange the $100 bills for, which are new $500, $2,000, and $20,000 Bolivar notes. So they got rid of the $100 bill because it was worthless. And now if you're actually caught using them, you get fined and you get in trouble because it's pretty much in essence using counterfeit bills. They're not real anymore. So the government was saying, hey, listen, everybody, bring your $100 bills over, and we're going to start giving you the $500, the $2,000, and the $20,000 bills. And it hasn't been going well. They didn't have enough. And so you want to talk about farther down the road socialism. There's that. Hear more from Venezuela. Some poor Venezuelan parents are giving away children amid deep crisis. Struggling to feed herself and her seven children, Venezuelan mother Zule Pulgar asked a neighbor in October to take over the care of her six-year-old daughter, a victim of pummeling economic crisis. The family lives on Polgar's father's pension, worth $6 a month, at the black market rate in a country where prices for many basic goods are surpassing those in the United States. It's better that she has another family to go than to go into prostitution, drugs, or die of hunger. The 43-year-old unemployed mother said, sitting outside of her dilapidated home with her 5-year-old son, father, and unemployed husband. With average wages less than equivalent of $50 a month at black market rates, three local councils at four national welfare groups all confirmed an increase in parents handing children over to the state, charities, or friends and family. The government does not release data on the number of parents giving away their children, and welfare groups struggle to compile statistics given the ad hoc manner in which parents given away the children, and local councils collate figures. So they're just, you know, pretty much going from door to door, can you take my kid? And if you think that that's because they don't care about their kids, obviously we're all very mistaken in thinking that. This must be a harrowing experience. And just to be able to do that, to rationalize that, to believe that you're saving your child from prostitution, death by hunger, or sickness, or anything like that, I mean, it just makes it more heart-wrenching. Venezuela needs freedom. And at this point, you say, well, freedom? I mean, everybody's starving. Well, you know what? This is the end game. Just like we say direct action works on the border, where you say you let all these illegal immigrants in, then you say, what, you want to break up families because the damage is already done? This is the end game of socialism, of communism, far left policies, collectivism, the antithesis of liberty and freedom. This is the end of it. Some places, when they get to, if you're a world reserve currency like the United States, and you get to print your money, and print and print and print and print and sustain these ridiculous programs that only add on Looney Tune amounts of money to your national debt, but you can sustain it just because, hey, whatever. Eventually, even the strongest will fall. You can't sustain it. It's unsustainable. And this is what we're looking at here. I was also looking at footage from a Venezuelan mental health hospital, which was just like things that nightmares are made of. You see what these hospitals look like. But also from the jewel of the Caribbean, Cuba, and all of the praise that we've heard from the left in this country, including Barack Obama, on Cuba. Listen to this. Since Castro's death, and since everybody, since all the American news organizations and all that have left the country and stopped sucking all of the Castro's dick, okay? All of the Castro's dicks. Once the sucking had stopped and everybody went home because it wasn't really, you know, flashy in the headlines anymore, Cuba has been cracking down on dissidents in obscene fashion. This is from the Tribune. Havana. Authorities across Cuba have cracked down on dissidents, arresting dozens, keeping others from marching in Havana, and detaining an American human rights lawyer, activists said on Sunday. In the first such anti-dissident operation since Fidel Castro's death last month, President Raul Castro seemed to indicate America's only one-party communist state was in no mood for dissent. Oh, a roundup in the country's east snared dozens and derailed street protests planning to demand that the political prisoners be freed. There was a joint operation at 6 a.m. in Santiago and Palma Soriano. They searched four homes, and so far we have 42 reported arrests, 20 in Santiago, 12 in Palma, and 10 in Havana. Jose Daniel Ferrer told AFP by phone. The 46-year-old who heads the Patriotic Union of Cuba had called the demonstrations to demand that political prisoners be set free. Castro insists there are no political prisoners, just lawbreakers. Well, of course. It's just a matter of opinion. And whose opinion matters most in a communist state is most important. Ferrer said he was detained in Santiago, Cuba's second biggest city, at a police unit known as Micro 9. They threatened me and said by calling the demonstrations, I was facilitating public disorder, disobedience, and espionage. So this is how these states are run. Very, very free, very, very tolerant. Very, very tolerant places. And with that being said, we are going to take a break. One last thing before we take a break. Democrats open to replacing Obamacare. This is from Politico. We don't have to reach into this. Guys, this is what it is. Democrats, the Democrat Party, has been yanked so far left because of Barack Obama. Then, of course, people like Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, who have had to pick up that mantle and continue to pull. Hillary Clinton, who has prided herself on saying she was a centrist her whole life, is now very, very left. They got yanked far. And every step of the way, they encountered loss after loss after loss. And they'll continue losing because they're not waking up to it. But I will tell you this, and many people would probably be able to tell you this. They do not like Obamacare. They know what they're supposed to say in public, but they know what it has cost them. They know how badly an ill-conceived plan it is, and they all secretly want it to be repealed, and they want this shit off of their plate, but they cannot commit the votes. Now that they are in the minority, and that you actually have a guy like Donald Trump that looks like he's going to work fast on this, they are all going to be very, very visibly, well, I'm not going to vote for it, but they don't have to vote for it because it's going to be repealed anyway. So they don't have to vote for it. They don't have to throw their betrayal vote into the mix. They can stand back as a helpless observer, and they will say, "Well, we'll be open to working with it for a reason." Number one, they don't believe in the bill. It's causing more harm than good. Number two, as long as their political allegiances are preserved and they didn't have to cast a vote against their god, then that is good for their own optics. And number three, when something goes wrong because they want to replace it with more big government, you know, it's good that some of this stuff is going to be coming out, but let's be honest. If we're going to talk free market and we're going to talk about making this real, then you don't want to replace it with anything. You just want to get rid of it and get bring back a real competitive marketplace again. So with that being said, this is going to be a great opportunity for Democrats to say, look at the Republican plan and how badly it's doing. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, guys, we're going to go on a really quick break. Actually, it'll be about a three-minute break. I got this Bill Whittle video here. When I come back, no, let me do my thank yous right now. I'm going to thank you guys right now for the Patreon, which all of the Christmas letters have been sent out, except for Bren Antilles. Bren, you gotta give me. I know that you had some problems with the. Bren said that he had to update his address, but they also had some problems with Patreon, so they missed the mark. But I'll still send it to you, man. So just let me know when you have that worked out, and I'll write you a letter real quick and send it out. But everybody's out. Let me know if you got it and what you think. You can call in and let me know what you think about the letters this month because it's Christmas. Let me know if it struck a chord with you. Maybe I actually should start writing the letters and telling you guys what song to listen to when you read it so that there's extra atmosphere there. All right, so I want to thank you guys first and foremost, all of our patriots on Patreon, patreon.com/quitefrankly. For those of you that enjoy the show, I put a lot into it, and I want to continue to put a lot into it. And what you guys have done for me so far with the support that you've shown has been, I can't put it into words. I thank you every night, and I hope that you never think that I'm just putting words out there and I don't mean it. I really, really do appreciate it. And I can't wait to hit some more of those goals. I can't wait to hit the $500 goal, the $1,000 goal, the $2,000 goal, because the more that happens, the happier I'm going to be, because this is all going to be more and more legitimate. And it's all going to be because of you and whatever partners we bring on. Because I think there's a lot to talk about, not just politics and anything. There's a lot to talk about out there. I can't wait to have any of my guests wish list on. I have musicians I want to talk to. I've got philosophers I want to talk to. I've got YouTubers I want to talk to. Things that people that I think you guys would love a lot. And, of course, I want to know what you guys are thinking. Also on the Patreon, you go on there, all the packages we have there. The 1776 is almost sold out. The 1984 still has a couple of slots left. But even the $10 and up gets you in on the monthly Google Hangouts. And we had the Google Hangout on Saturday. It was just me and Pierre and Gadget Doc, but we did have it. And I guess it was a crazy weekend. Everybody's out for Christmas and stuff, so... the January Google Hangout will be coming soon, and that's when you guys are part of the production meeting. We talk about what we want to see more of in the show, what we want to, what directions we want to go in, what we can do for bits, all that stuff. It's all for you guys, and thank you for being along for the ride. So patreon.com/quitefrankly, and here are my bosses that I want to love down in grand fashion. As Louis Prima plays, Michael Wells, Nikki Solis, Andrew Dame, Laura Veris, Perry and Stacy Little, Mike May. Mike May, we went to go see Star Wars twice already now. Mike May just the first time, but I went to see Star Wars again on Saturday. We're going to talk about that after the break. Good stuff, because, of course, characters are already turning gay. You'll see. But it's hilarious. Perry and Stacey Little, Mike May, Matt Smith, who just got his new Toyota. Good for you, Matt. Sean Collins, Christian Peppas, Max Ancaparato, who's been in the chat tonight. Rob Corrado, what's going on, Rob? What's going on, Murr, if you're at home, too? You get a freebie. You get a freebie shout-out, Murr. LS Dan, Dan Spratlin. I see him mixing it up, doing his thing. He's mixing it up with Evie. What's going on, Evie? Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, Jackie Milam, Rudy Escarcega, Pierre, good man. Matt DeFabio, who's not here tonight. Brad Meyer, who I think is here tonight. What's going on, Brad? Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Brian O'Connor Jr., Marianne Hart, who warms my heart, Brent Antilles, and Stephanie K., StephanieKBeauty.com. Stephanie K. is one of my favorite people to write to. Then again, I love all you guys, but Stephanie K., I feel like I'm passing notes in class. You know who's like that as well? The Littles, Perry and Stacy. What a great Christmas card they sent me. They address it to everybody over here, so I should read it out loud to the guys, but holy shit. They packed this Christmas card with all these little messages, and they sent stickers and ornaments. Thank you guys so much. I really do feel the love. I love it. Let me put on... Over the break, I'm going to be putting on the Skype. Here is Bill Whittle. I want to leave you with Bill Whittle for a couple of minutes on fake news. Now, I love Bill Whittle. I think that he kicks ass, and he's funny, nice and dry. And you'll be able to listen to it. You'll get just as much out of it as I do over here. All right, everybody. Enjoy your break. Talk to you in just about 3 minutes. I need to take a drink of water anyhow.
You know, if there's one thing you can absolutely count on in modern American politics, it's this. Every time a progressive Democrat invokes the Founding Fathers and American freedom, well, that will immediately be followed by a proposal that reduces American freedom and is an insult to the Founding Fathers. On December 8, 2016, the most corrupt politician in Washington made a speech at the dedication of a portrait of the second most corrupt person in Washington.
After the Constitutional Convention, it's well known, Benjamin Franklin was asked what form of government the new nation would have. A republic, he replied, if you can keep it.
Now, on to the antithesis of everything Benjamin Franklin and the Founding Fathers stood for.
The epidemic of malicious fake news and false propaganda that flooded social media over the past year.
Now, that part is true. Many videos showing Hillary Clinton to be a warm, trustworthy, and tough presidential candidate flooded YouTube, Facebook, and all the rest throughout 2016.
It's now clear that so-called fake news can have real-world consequences.
Like causing liars, traitors, and felons to lose presidential races.
This isn't about politics or partisanship.
Of course it is.
Lives are at risk.
In other words, I damn near committed suicide a month ago.
Lives of ordinary people just trying to go about their days, to do their jobs, contribute to their communities.
You know, selling top-level government favors for cash or storing top-secret emails on private servers and copying them onto the computers of noted underage girl texting perverts, that kind of thing.
It's a danger that must be addressed, and addressed quickly.
By more government.
Bipartisan legislation is making its way through Congress to boost the government's response. It's imperative that leaders in both the private sector and the public sector step up to protect our democracy and innocent lives.
In other words, no lying, vile, race, class, and sex-dividing megalomaniacs should ever have the presidential coronation stolen from them by the free flow of information ever again. Now, one of the fake news stories that Hillary claims cost her the election was a completely made-up transcript widely shared in which she called the American people a bucket of losers. That fake news turned out to be absolutely false. She did not call the American people a bucket of losers. She called them a basket of deplorables. Now, you can see how this hideous fake news lie about calling them a bucket of losers likely cost her the election. Or maybe the Russians did it, or WikiLeaks. Maybe one of these sources, releasing actual recordings, emails, and transcripts, caused Hillary to lose the election by using illegal means to report the truth, when we all know that had they operated legally, like CNN, for example, the truth could be safely suppressed by the objective, real news outlets with their skyscrapers and layers of fact-checkers and editors, which objectively and impartially do things like sneaking upcoming questions to Hillary in advance of the CNN debate. But if it was in fact the Russians, I wonder where they could possibly obtain top secret information concerning Hillary Clinton. I wonder if it occurs to her that the stolen email she claimed cost her the election just might have come from the unsecure private server that she set up to shield her corruption from the prying eyes of the American people. Now maybe all this noise about a few fake news stories.
Best transitions in the network. Smoothest. So what's going on, everybody? So now we're on to our fun half of the show. Well, it's 7:52, so it looks like we're going to be doing some overtime, if you know what I mean. We did fake news. Bill Whittle is actually one of the guys that I want to have on the show. He will be on the show. It'll be a great day. We're all going to celebrate. Guys, we're going to have many victories together. I'm telling you this. I promise you this. We're going to have many victories together. We're a nice little tribe right now. But aside from that, we're going to be like, oh, shit. Wow, we did it. Wow, that came from us. I was there. Yeah, it's going to happen. I promise you. That was a great fade. That was a great fade, Brian. Nothing phases me. This is the greatest engineered podcast ever. You know, I'm like the guy at the circus that juggles five different things, and he's playing a bass drum and a tambourine and a harmonica at the same time. That's what I am, okay? This is my life. I should show you. I should get that, I should tear that camera off, or this one was on. I can show you what's going on back here. But let's see, what else we have here tonight? So, Rogue One, love the movie. I've already seen it twice, gonna see it one more time this weekend. We're gonna go probably watch it at Alamo again, and that'll be that. But Rogue One, here's from Vulture.com. Are these the gay Star Wars characters we've been looking for? Meaning Donnie Yen. And no, well, right off the bat, nah, this was such a sexually neutral movie. So happy for it. You really have nothing. You really have nothing if you're part of that roving pack of people who just have a weird infatuation with who everybody's fucking and are the boys fucking? The boys are fucking though, right? It's like, wow, Jesus, why must you be the way that you are? But, you know, it's not going to stop them from drawing the pictures of Donnie Yen and the other guy, you know, 69ing on Tumblr with rosy pink cheeks and prancing through a poppy field. It's not going to stop them, but it's ridiculous. There's no homoerotic feelings in this at all. Absolutely not. But let's just read this for a second because it's just funny. And of course, I posted it. It got reblogged around about 102 times. And some people, we get it. You hate gay people. Just kill us all. We get... somebody asked me. Hold on a second. Somebody asked me if I regularly complain that there's not a heterosexual couple, something about and it was all obviously rhetorical. It was being asked to me if I complain about blah, 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 a sexual couple in Star Wars or whatever like that. And I said, no, this stuff never comes up because my friends and I don't confuse Star Wars with Dawson's Creek. You know, it's not about, you know, who's, and think about it. The only relationships, quasi relationships there were, which is, you know, Leia and Solo, which was this like kind of like a building thing up until the last scene of Return of the Jedi. Okay, and even then they weren't. It wasn't about the relationship. You see, they divorced. It wasn't around about the relationship. They were completely independent people. There was no dominant person in that relationship between Han and Leia. It's like this was such a neutral type of thing. It was more of a kid's adventure at one point. Now, this is nice and dark, though. Rogue One. It's a good fan film. Like, we were watching it in 3D, IMAX 3D on Saturday or Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we went out because our buddy is a manager at one of the local theaters. So we just went on in with him. And I'll tell you, that was a room full of kids. Not only will I never, ever go to a theater that is not Alamo again, unless I know that it is at such an obscure time and obscure night of the week that nobody will be there. I can't stand the rustling. I can't stand the crinkling of bags. I can't stand the sniffling. I can't stand the S's of whispering going on somewhere. I can't stand kids. I can't stand anything. Can't stand it. Now just please lock me in a room with people who know how to watch a movie. Please. And the other thing is that obviously, kids don't get it, and they might become good movie viewers one day. But it's a very, very, very telling thing to watch a movie like Star Wars Rogue One at an Alamo, and where people are laughing, what people catch up on, and when you watch it at just the run-of-the-mill theater where the general population just shows up for a movie and a good time, roll the dice. It's just like you can hear a pin drop. Pin drop, and you start thinking, my God, does anybody in this fucking place get it? And it just shows you populations. Now, I'm not saying that the people in there are stupid, but it's just, I don't know. You can tell what people pick up on, and it is all psychological, so you can draw certain types of conclusions. IQ level, are they different? Maybe. I believe you're probably going to get a slightly higher IQ level in an Alamo, to be honest. I don't know. Think so. It's not why I go there. But when I'm thinking about the audience reactions and what that means to their personality and how they might compute things and read into things, it makes me think that there's a little bit more cognitive function that comes out of people in certain places. Okay. So, you know, there's there. That's what I'm thinking. But, Yeah, so I guess I don't even have to read into this article. Even though it's just ridiculous. It's written like a 12-year-old wrote it and just upset. I enjoy their old married couple vibe. They're talking about Donnie Yen. Chirrut, what is it? Chirrut once, whatever? They're both separatists from... Or Knights of the Weird... I forgot what the hell it is. It's only been vaguely mentioned. But they live in Jeddah City, which used to be the place where kyber crystals were stored and mined and all that stuff. And it was good stuff. Good stuff in the comics. Good stuff. I love it. But they're not enjoying it. They don't want to learn about Jeddah. They don't want to learn about the history of the Jedi and this. They're not looking for it. They're checking off boxes. Is anybody gay? How many black people do we have here? Well, she's dark enough to be a person of color. I don't think that's just a Bahamas tan. So let's... No. How do you know it's not a tan or not? Maybe she... Well, no, you can tell by the face of some... It's the face, you know. It's the shape of the skull. The shape of the skull. Oh, really? Really? You start seeing how racist people are. They start picking this shit apart because you have to. You're looking for externals constantly to see how balanced everybody on film is. Everybody in frame. Is this a balanced scene? Do we have enough people with lines that are this color, that color? Look something. I mean, you have. It's ridiculous. It's like a. It's like a carousel. Holy shit. But it goes on and on. I don't even want to read this. Because all we're going to learn, all we're going to hear about is, here, let's just read random sentences from this article. Okay, ready? I'm just going to pick anything. You would think that as the country becomes more progressive on gay issues and as gay characters appear on television with increasing frequency, blockbusters movies would be a little braver and a lot less coy. No, the problem is here's part of the agenda problem, guys. Okay? They're overrepresented now. Gay characters are overrepresented in media. For the gay population being 5% of the total population, I mean, there's an overrepresentation. Not that I care. I don't like, it's not like, you know, a vampire to natural light. I don't care. But it's, you know, I tend to not watch network television, so I know that's where a lot of that happens. And of course, HBO, it's just... It's being created. All this stuff is being created by a industry that is heavily influenced and populated by gay, liberal actors and producers and writers and all this stuff. So, you know, it's almost like the original argument to, if you take an original work and alter it fundamentally in some way to suit a modern political narrative, why, you know, is that something that is acceptable? To take, especially if it's somebody else's work. If it's your work, I mean, great. Go make a superhero character that has all of the cultural strong points you want to hit on, the pop cultural strong points you want to hit on, and watch it become a timeless classic of a figure. If you think somebody should be a woman, or somebody should be black, or somebody should be gay, or somebody should be white... Can you imagine if they made Black Panther into White Panther? Is there a White Panther, guys? I don't know, the comic books. I mean, just... That's an original work. Black Panther is an original work. Blade is an original work. I don't want to see characters like Blade or Black Panther or anybody be turned into white characters for the same reason I don't want them to be turned into black characters or a Hispanic character or try to change their gender. It's not because of having any kind of predisposition or some kind of a prejudice. It's just, no, we know why this is being done. And you know what? If the culture was different, then it would pass. That's the whole problem here. You would be able to do things like recast Peter Parker, and you would be able to do things and have it be like, that's cool. That's a different take on it. Because, I mean, all of these fucking things have 10,000 reboots anyway. All of these videos, all these films, all these comic books, they get rebooted, they get reinterpreted all the time. If it's a black Superman, an Iron Superman, this and that, and it goes eventually it goes back to the original story. And there he is. There's white, muscular Clark Kent again with the curly Q in his hair. But the thing is, we don't live in a really free, progressive society. We live in a gun to your head, bake the cake or else society. That's just what it is. If we didn't live in that type of a society, you can say, well, if we didn't live in that type of society, it would be the total opposite, completely oppressive. Well, no, that's not evolution. You don't trust that we've evolved as people? The problem is with the authority that we're putting on to people. We're using authority. We are evolving socially. We are evolving socially. Okay? It's like, but there's a state problem. There's an authority problem. There's an enforcement problem. You don't enforce evolution. Especially if it's a social evolution. You can't enforce that. Hey, you guys, I see you guys chatting up a storm, putting everything you want in there. I love reading it. Also, if you have anything, especially if we have any Dan Spratlin says, gay people close to me, my sister, my best friend, my aunt, my second uncle, and two close professional associates, they hate the reaching Hollywood is doing to try to appeal. They're saying that they're becoming that token now. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I was in, me, Mike, and Anthony, Lauren, we were in a room shoulder to shoulder packed with gay people last night. My father's Christmas party was last night. And not only is my father gay, you guys know this about me already, but I mean, it was just, these are fantastic people. Nowhere on earth, okay? I would not be able to find a party to sing Christmas carols in or listen to it. Just every room, there's somebody doing something else. It was fantastic. And you want to know something? Fuck this. We're already on air. I'm going to put it on. I'm going to send myself. I'm going to show you guys some of the pictures from last night. You want to see a glimpse. Now, I have to show you the pictures of the outside. What my father used to do with our house at my grandmother's house. At my grandmother's, when we lived with my grandmother for years in my childhood. And actually, I got videos here too. I'm gonna send all of this to Gmail. That's probably faster, right, Mike? I gotta show you guys what he used to do to my grandmother's house, the themes every year, and the national media attention we would get over it. Because it wasn't just like, hey, what's the light count? It was, he crafted these custom things. It was unbelievable. But now, you know, he's taken that elsewhere. He takes that spirit with him, and he's... The inside of a house, when he decorates. God damn, man. All right, so I just sent myself. I sent the pictures, including the creepy voodoo doll picture you guys are going to see. So if you're watching the podcast right now, make sure that you take note of the timestamp, because then you can go to the video and watch what I'm about to put up there, but you'll still hear the commentary. God damn it, I'm trying to send the videos now. They're too long. Still too big. Hey, Mike, can you put on AirDrop, your AirDrop for your phone? And I'm going to AirDrop you. You have Dropbox on your phone?
No, I don't have Dropbox.
Shit. Because I was going to AirDrop you that if you can drop it into Dropbox. I don't have Dropbox. what can I do right now, though? How can I get this video off my phone and onto this computer? Let's think about this. I just need the Dropbox. All right. Well, in either case, let's watch this. Let's look at these videos. I mean, pictures. I got 13 attachments here. So this is a one-off. This is how, like, my father, he would always have a village display. And that was his village. That's just one half of the village. And that is based completely on Bedford Falls from It's a Wonderful Life. And he's been collecting those for a while. Those are the actual buildings. There's the old building and loan is there. The movie house, the bridge. I think the bridge that George Bailey was going to jump off of is even there as well. He's got the bridge, Bedford Halls bridge. This is these right here. These like puppets. He's had for as long as I have been alive, at least decades old. Like this one. This old woman, but it kind of looks like a pirate with a patch. It might be a guy, I don't know. But all of these puppets, very precious things. This is, now all of this right here is the three shelf nativity scene, and it's all Franklin Mint. And all of these figures, the wise men, the shepherds, the angels, everything. All these figures, he would get one figure a year. So it took years to put this together. And there's a reflection of Mike in there. But that's Franklin Mint. This is his tree. This is the main tree. Okay? It is all white and blue and with crystals. So you're going to see the blue bulbs in there, but there's also just crystals and crystal garland all over the place so that it just shines. It's gorgeous. My father and trees, the way that he decorates trees is like none other. There's another picture of the tree. I got its brilliance a little bit more, better captured. Here's another tree. Two sets of trees, actually. This was in the bedroom where the coat room, where we were putting all the coats. So he's got this dollhouse over here, life-size dollhouse. Put all that done up with the lights. And then you've got this little bit more narrow pink tree, and then this tiny blue tree. I love the trees. The trees were everywhere. Trees were everywhere. What's the next? Hold on, I gotta recapture this. and then it's just little things that don't go don't go missed at all. Here's one of the bookshelves. Got the Believe bookshelf up. There's the tree again from another angle. There's me. Now, here's me. Now, this is really creepy. In about 1992, my mother went and took pictures of me. See how I'm missing my front tooth. And Anthony. And she went to the flea market in Portchester. And she had these really... she had these really creepy, like, pillow dolls made. This was right when everybody was figuring out really how to screen print pictures onto things. People were making their own, world's best dad shirts with the faces on them and all that stuff. But they're printing them onto this thing. So weird. So That was me last night. It was good to be reunited. Every year I see it. Here's the other room. We got a purple tree there, right next to the 3 Days of Peace and Music poster. And of course, there's another tree. That was in the far. That was in a. I forgot what room that was in. More bookshelves. You see some great stuff on the walls there. Great stuff on the walls. There's a. Star is Born and Mildred Pierce and Joan Crawford, Lucille Ball, everybody, everything. You just got everything there. This is just how we were, this is what we were brought up around. And I like showing you guys this stuff. I really wish I had I want to play his speech, my father's speech. It's 2 minutes long, and it's really worth a look. And I'd like to tell, I've taken this opportunity, I didn't really expect to show you guys any of this stuff, but the conversation went there, you know, going off of what Dan Spratlin said in the chat room, and it immediately started making me think about the people in my life. I know people who are going through some hard times, and I also know that the ones that don't care as much, you know, as far as being radicalized for a cause or anything like that, they just want to be happy. And they want to be left alone. You know, and I really wish people didn't take the bait of the riling up that goes on here. Because it's also important to me that you guys see all this stuff and you hear and learn about our personal lives over here. Especially, I got to get my father on the show again. But it's important you guys know this because I need you as a character witness. I'm never, ever, ever coming from a bigoted point of view on this stuff, especially when I have to take stances against people who represent the LGBT community or put that on their shoulders when they scream something into a camera somewhere. That's the weight of principles or bias. It's tough. It's tough because you care. But that's that. All right, so let me see. Brian, I don't know. I don't know. Should I destroy those? You are a psychic type of guy. Let me know if those dolls should be destroyed, or do they actually have some kind of voodoo type of pull? I don't know. But it's 8:15. We're just going to go to 8:30. Fuck it. So rogue characters, are they gay? No, but keep trying. Stop trying to turn everything into fucking Dawson's Creek, please. All in the Family and Jeffersons, and the Jeffersons are looking to be rebooted. Now, I am opposed to this in every way possible because it could only be rife with political correctness. It could only be rife with political correctness. It's just like to bring it back and reboot them. Reboot them? What are you talking about? You could never put anything on television as honest as the Jeffersons and Good Times and All in the Family were. You could never. Everybody, this is what I'll leave you with on this one. On this one. I'm not going to go that much deeper into it. I'll just let you guys watch something on your own. But once again, going back to those series on Netflix, the 60s and the 70s, go to the 70s series, okay, by CNN. It's on Netflix. Just type in the 70s and watch the first episode. The television, it's called like the maturation, the television becomes mature or something like that. And it's all about this type of stuff that was on TV. That was some ballsy, Mary Tyler Moore, Laverne and Shirley, Maude, Bea Arthur and Rue McClanahan and Betty White's first introduction into television. I mean, you got to check this out. Watch episode one of the 70s tonight. You're not going to regret it. And then you're going to see why this being brought back would be nothing but a hack. It would just be a hack job at what was once really brave television. Brave television. No chance of that being good. What's going on, Gadget Doc?
Oh, not much. Let me put you on mute here.
Go ahead.
All right, got you on mute. All right, so really quickly, bad idea. Agree with you with the All in the Family, Jeffersons. Leave it alone. It's a perfect time capsule the way it is.
Yes.
The other thing, voodoo doll. It's going to make you immortal. Just let it be.
Really?
Besides, your mom would kill you.
Yeah, I know. She would. She would be upset.
Yeah, so let her be happy. Oh, did you, the reason for my call, though, really quickly, did you see that Norwegian draft video that I sent you on Facebook?
Where the women are going to be drafted?
Yeah, I think that'd be really – it kind of ties everything back into what we were talking about with Russia, and because – you know, Norway is a NATO partner, and they only have, what, 1,800 troops or 18,000 troops? Hmm. They have to draft the women because they've gone into such a state where their men are unfit for military service. Think about that.
Just as they planned. Just as all, I'm telling you, Gadget Doc, I know it's really a really low thing to say, but I it's just as – that's just been the plan, I think. The plan – it seems like there's been a global emasculation of Western men. And I don't understand. It's just been assault, and it's and not that, you know, there's not everybody has to be Hercules. I'm no warrior. I mean, I'm a self-defense type of guy, but I'm not some axe-swinging maniac. I would never want to go into battle. I like to defend myself and stay alive, but that's it. You know, but it's just like I really do think that they just want guys to just cower behind women sometimes.
Yeah, I think we have a point there. 100% that right there. But I think that's a great point of commentary, considering that we probably missed the bullet of going to Third World War today because Putin didn't overreact to the assassination of his ambassador, who was his personal friend. Mm. Okay.
Was he visibly torn up about it, or he's stone faced?
He
because he's pretty grizzled at this point.
He's a politician.
Yeah.
Okay. He understands, but when you looked at his official statement, you could tell that there was a lot going underneath the surface. Shall I say?
Yeah.
He wasn't his normal. He didn't present his normal poker face, okay? So there was a lot more going. The wheels were turning a lot more when you actually watch it. We actually put it on the Quite Frankly page, his statement.
I have to watch it. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, you can kind of look at his eyes. You can tell from his eyes it's not the normal Putin you normally see, okay?
Mm.
He understood, one, the gravity of the situation. Two, he was furious. Three, he was upset that his friend was killed. And four, he's trying to figure out, how do we get out of this where I can keep face, make Russia look strong, because he's not going to let that slide, but not drag us all into a thermonuclear war.
Right.
So that
because Turkey's a nuclear state as well, right?
Turkey is a NATO ally.
Do they have nukes? Why did I think they did?
Let's. I'm going to. I don't.
Anybody
believe
in the
they
chat
do.
Room?
I don't believe they do anymore. They used to have nukes in Turkey, but that was part of the Cuban Missile Crisis quid pro quo,
mm-hmm.
where they pulled the nukes out of Cuba. We waited 6 to 8 months, and we pulled the nukes out of Turkey.
Interesting. Well, then we have to watch this then. It looks like crisis averted for now?
For now, I think that we're not going to have a shooting match, but I still say that we're the next 30 days is probably the most dangerous time between the NATO powers and Russia. And that's because of Obama still in power. And even the CFR has put the chance of impact high and a moderate risk of conflict in 2017 between the United States and NATO. That's a really distressing thing for them to say, considering the state of the world and how the Cold War has been over for really over 20 years.
Man.
Nearly 25 years the Cold War has been over.
Well, thank you for the update, Gadget Doc. We will keep an eye on this one. Fantastic call.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
Take care, man. Be well. Good man, Gadget Doc. Good man, Gadget Doc. Now, everybody, take your pants off and just chill. We're gonna take a trip down memory lane. Remember when we took our pants off and chilled? That's what we'll say to each other. You say, yeah, I remember that. That was a really great time. We were drinking ice water and lemon, little leaves of mint. It was fantastic. Everybody was just sitting around with their pants off. It was completely platonic. Nothing weird happened. But, you know, it was free. And everybody was well-groomed. The servant, they say. Bring in the servant. Who would be the servant in this weird, debaucherous type of thing? I would have to see a scene like that. It would have to be in some kind of a dim-lit, almost like reddish, glowy basement with just pillows. It's just a very lavish type of... Not a basement, but like almost like a throne room. Like a real, like a very luxurious Roman orgy type of a setting, but no real orgy. It's just like, let's get together and let the breeze just blow through our nuts. And we'll just look out into the horizon. We'll just be. Yeah, that's the weird. That would be the weird thing. That'd be a very weird thing to do. All right, 8:26, four more to go. Four more minutes to go. All in the Family, Jefferson's Terrible Idea by Smoggy Beijing, under alert, orders factories to shut down or cut out all that shit. So there you go, Beijing, once again. People can't see in front of their faces. It's so smoggy. And we are being treated, the Western world, is being destroyed. We're being whipped and beaten over the head with this climate change nonsense. And here's a country that if you got that country under control, all of your global warming would probably be gone anyhow. Look at this. These cities you can't see in front of your fucking face. How about we all start beating up on China to clean their shit up? We smell it. It's almost like we're the neighbors that kind of keep their place tidy, and you know they try to keep the lawn cut and all that stuff. You know, every once in a while there's a dandelion that gets in there, but you know it's like China is the house that whose backyard meets your backyard at a certain level, and you can see into their backyard and there's just shit everywhere. And it smells. Well, you know, come on. If the world is a big community and we're all supposed to be neighbors in this, then wouldn't China be the neighbor with the, you know, the air pollution problem? Can we tell them to stop smoking? Hey, can you do something about this, huh? No. No, we're going to make sure that Americans aren't using too much water in a shower when they go to a hotel in California where the shower shuts off on you because we want to save the environment. You kidding me? Save the environment. That's why they go and they tax your cars, and they're taxing you by the mile now. You thought you're getting your hybrid cards so that you would get some kind of a rebate, a green energy rebate. You'd be saving money on gas. You'd be saving money. You get a little bit of a tax credit. Then all of a sudden the taxes pop back up somewhere else because they realize they got to recoup all the money that they're losing from not being able to tax you because you went and you did what they willed and you bought the product because they told you to instead of just going to the product because it was the best choice. It was an incentive. You gave it a shot. But they don't care about the environment. They care about making money. They care about you staying in their voters' union. That's it. Only thing is, you will say, well, there's more than one union, right? Well, go for the union that doesn't want anybody to tell them what to do. Okay? You go to the union that's trying to figure out how you have to make everybody do what you want to do. That's not good. Just fundamentally think about that. Just reduce it down to that, boil it away down to that point, and that's what you have. But you're not boom boom. That's gone. Capital. Algorithms make us small-minded. Well, yeah. Yes, from the BBC, algorithms making us small-minded because we're being kept inside of these search engine bubbles. We're going to start with that tomorrow. And then also tomorrow, because we got a lot of heavy things done tonight, half of people remember events that never happened. I finally want to get around to that. I think there's some jokes to be made there. And then, of course, this one out of the Washington Post was pretty interesting. This is the headline. Our culture of purity celebrates the Virgin Mary as a rape victim. That hurts me. So, we'll get into that in depth tomorrow, but just in case you were wondering whether or not 2017 was going to be any different in the psycho department, no. No, we're still going to have an upward battle to gain some footing in the logic section. And a couple other things we're going to do. It's going to be fun. But thank you guys so much. This was a fantastic show. I think it was. I came in here not knowing, because Mondays are usually erratic, but I think we knocked things off in good order. I don't think things got too stale. But then again, I love to hear your views, your thoughts, your reviews. So get in touch with me. Review us on iTunes. Share it with a friend. Share it with somebody that you think might be able to handle it, even though they might have opposing things to say. Because all I want to do is fucking talk. Okay? That's it. It was just a conversation. That's all. For Christ's sake. Get a grip. All right. Countdown to Christmas continues. That's it for tonight. Coming up next here in the studio, but on their Facebook fan page, is the Hangover Takeover with your very own Standby Gypsy. Gypsy, you're going live? You are?
Hold on, let me get you on there.
Are you on?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Juju will be here momentarily.
What are you guys talking about tonight?
We are going to talk about... actually, that's like what I'm getting ready to do right now, prepare. So stay tuned. I'm not sure yet.
He's going to be preparing, and it's going to be a good show. And Juju is a firecracker, so she will lead you through either way, Gypsy.
Oh, yeah. She holds my hand every episode.
That's good. That's good. Listen, if you're sitting in this chair, then you deserve some backup.
You do.
That's a good thing.
You certainly
Seriously. Because it's either one thing suffers or the other. See, people, it's some nights, I'm lacking in one place or the other. Because you can't be two
people. One person can't do it all.
Exactly. No problem, guys. No problem. Great show, Frank. Cheers, everyone. Thanks for the shout out, Frank. Mer, take care. Tell everyone hello, hello. So that's that. All right, guys, that's all for tonight. Be good. I have a hard time saying goodbye to you. I know.